Hello, it's Owen Shehan here from Off The Ball, and the FIFA World Cup 2026 is here. And let's be honest, the matchday version of ourselves can look a little committed. Jerseys, face paint, scarves and questionable weather, whatever you have, maybe even a full costume if your team makes a run, you can look a little worse for wear come the end of it all. But the World Cup, it's not just about the football. It's the atmosphere, it's the nights in the pub, it is the watch parties with your mates, and maybe even meeting someone new. That is where Lynx comes in. As an official personal care sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026, Lynx's premium fragrances are here to help you smell your best, even in the middle of full matchday madness. Lynx, smell your best when you look your worst. Now, enjoy your podcast.
Football on Off The Ball.
So I wouldn't call them a dark horse. They're not that dark. They've come out of the darkness. They are now a horse.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The news round on Off The Ball. This is News Talk.
How are you doing? And you're very welcome along to Monday night's Off The Ball. Tommy Rooney here with you for the evening, up until 10 o'clock. After a brilliant weekend of sport, we've got a hell of a show coming up for you this evening. Matt Williams joins us at 7:30 to talk rugby. A lot of fun on Saturday morning. Susanna Mullen will be in studio as well. We've got a hurling wake of sorts. The great Jamesy O'Connor and the great Dennis Walsh joining us from 8 o'clock to get stuck into two crackers of our All-Ireland semi-finals in Croke Park. And we've got the small matter of the football show. And the World Cup taking place tonight. Spain and Portugal kicking off at 8 o'clock. Delighted to be joined in studio, to my left, by Arthur O'Dea. Arthur, how are you doing?
Flying. How are you?
And to my right, Stephen Doyle.
Good evening, Thomas. How are you?
I'm very well, pal.
Great weekend for Leinster hurling, wasn't it?
Hey, it's back. Well, maybe it's Connacht hurling that's back. Are we starting in Croke Park?
There's nowhere else but to, is there?
There was a lot going on.
It was. It was a hell of a weekend.
Yeah. What did you think, Stephen?
Well, I'll be honest, I was down at Roscommon on Saturday night on a leisure trip.
Lovely.
So I didn't get to see the whole Galway-Cork match. Of course, as my football allegiances might suggest, I was taking, shall we say, not pleasure, but I was certainly taking more of an interest in what happened to Cork after the whole Ringmahon Rangers controversy last week. Of course, Ringmahon Rangers drawn against my own Bohemians in the FAI Cup, a match which has been cancelled due to Ringmahon Rangers giving a walk over to Bohemians because it was looking like a very congested Sunday on July 19th. So, well, people can take from that what they will, but I watched the game yesterday from start to finish, absolutely. As John Coyley was saying in the interview, the press conference with yourself, like the Limerick fans and the Clare fans, I was absolutely engrossed. Yeah. Incredible, incredible game.
Yeah, it was. As Steve alluded to there, all politics is local. So, you know, there's a couple of jibes coming Cork's way at the weekend from various areas. And, you know, they're incredible supporters actually getting it in the neck a little bit. I don't know if we can blame the supporters for what happened to the Cork Hurlers in the second half against Galway.
No, of course not. No. But I guess it's the most, you have a I suppose it's safe to call a trend now, a pretty stark one for Cork of seeming to fail to deliver in second half the crucial games. And I guess whenever that kind of autopsy starts, they kind of have to start digging away at different bits and pieces. And I think, funnily enough, I think it's a funny thing with hurling. Like, there's so much that we know and there's so much great analysis out there and everything like that, but there's like an iceberg. Like, there's just so much under the sea that we can't see, we can't get at. We don't know how it works, why these games are won and lost. So you start reaching for tangible things, and I suppose it is a weird thing where you have a team now that is probably the best supported in the country in GAA terms, just in terms of regularity. I think all their games are sold out. It's a crazy run. Like,
I think it's been 14 out of 15. And
madness.
The one that wasn't sold out, there was 40,000 plus in Semple for the Offaly game 2 weeks ago. Like, So
you got to reach for something like your life. Why is this such great supported team underperforming? It's like, but I don't know. Like, I don't know if the two are linked at all.
I don't know if they're linked. I don't know if they're linked. I think the hysteria and the hype, the jungle, as James Horan put it a couple of years ago, you got to be able to maybe tame the jungle a little bit and go with it. I think he quoted the Gurkhas back in the day and how they kind of like use it. And maybe in Mayo, they didn't quite capitalise on all the momentum that was behind them from that side of things. But I'll tell you one fella who's not afraid to capitalise on the momentum from the stands. It's John Kiely.
No.
Arthur, you were actually sitting in the Hogan stand at the weekend. Talk to me about the atmosphere during Clare and Limerick. We get stuck into the match itself with Dennis Walsh and James O'Connor after eight. But as a supporter in the ground, what did that game feel like?
It was hot, right? It was really hard. It was hot. And it was, that part of the thing was all sold out. There wasn't a seat vacant around me anywhere that I could see. So it was heat, like a lot of body temperature, you know? You know, you're in amongst it. It definitely, it was so cagey. Like, you couldn't start. You know, you kind of, it was a bit of a fool's errand at the part. You're like, you know that type of thing when you're watching and you kind of a few, someone will come out of a ruck with the ball and you're like, you'll start to celebrate, they've done it. But it seemed to happen so often that it was almost the third or fourth time that someone got away with it, that was the way they got away with it. The blocking and hooking was so ferocious that it never, it was just a constant battle. Everything was constantly disputed. Even if when you look at the decisive moment in the end with O'Connor and you look at it up that wing, like, at watching it in my, from where I was up that wing, it felt like Adam English had a lot more time when he passed that ball across. But you look, it's like there's guys right there. Like, he's within like a foot of being impossible, closed down. So like, that was a kind of a, and that was the 70th minute. It was ferocious.
Insane. Steve, I want to get you on this in a minute, but I just want to bring you a flavour of John Kiely. This is from the embargoed section of the press conference. I was nearly, it's funny, these pressers, you're sometimes sitting and waiting to see will something come up, and I just noticed, and you get a very different experience covering it live on Level 7 in the press box to maybe watching it on TV or maybe watching it somewhere else in the ground, but I just caught a glimpse of Kiely turning to the crowd after Dermot Burns made it a 3-point game in the 65th minute. And it wasn't really like him. He turns to the crowd and he's like, come on, get into it. And I asked him about that.
I just felt the crowd were just our own, like all that section behind me is all Limerick. And they were so, and it happened below in Cork again, the same thing. They were so wrapped in the game, they forgot to do their job. They switched off. And we needed them to do their job, like, you know. There's 15,000 of them behind me. Like, you know, do your job. Support the team. And when I turned around, they recognised that opportunity. And of course, straight away, there was a reaction. So I've got to know when those moments come, Tommy. Like, they were engrossed. They were so engrossed. Like, I'm sure you were in the game, enthralled with what was happening in front of our eyes. But you've got to be present in that moment and understand you have a job to do. You have something to do. You can contribute. And they had a massive contribution to us in that last 7 or 8 minutes, because not only had I 8 defending our half of the pitch, I had another 15,000 of them holding them to account beside them and shouting on every block, every hook, every catch. And we needed them to do that. And they did a brilliant job on it, by the way. But they did need to wake up.
Not only had I 8 defending our half of the pitch, I had another 15,000 holding them to account behind us. I don't know whether that was Headmaster Kiely, schoolteacher Kiely, or Roy Keane in disguise, Steve-O. But what a call to arms to the people of Limerick ahead of the All-Ireland final.
Yeah, like, you know, you do kind of, like, I was at the Dublin game the previous week and it was a weird sensation because you were kind of supporting a team that wasn't expected to be where they were and maybe weren't expected to win the match against Galway. And then all of a sudden, you know, 6 points down, you're kind of thinking, ah, geez, it's gone now, like, you know. And I can understand what Cody's, you know, that Limerick, those Limerick supporters haven't been in a final now in 3 years, isn't it? It's 23, the last final. And they're probably thinking, crikey, you know, this is gone now. Where, like, it kind of felt like the momentum had gone against them a little bit towards the end. But you're kind of thinking, this is Limerick. This Limerick team have pulled matches out of the fire so many times, but they can't do it if their supporters are quiet, which is brilliantly what John Kiely copped onto. And,
yeah,
you know, he gave it the old Pep Guardiola, didn't he, a bit?
Yeah, do you know what?
At the Etihad Stadium.
I love that. And I hadn't quite anticipated him actually letting us in behind, you know, what actually was going through his mind. But I think John Kiely, as much as other managers do cop it, John Kiely knows he's not speaking to the press in these press conferences. Mm. He's speaking to the public, you know. And I think other supporters of other counties, Louth are going to be on wheels this week. Mayo, The bandwagon is back. There's going to be a lot of fun there. David Clifford had to do it last year for the Kerry fans. The Dubs have had their kind of moment as underdogs this year and they've responded. I just think the ferocity and the noise in Croke Park this coming weekend and for the All-Ireland finals are going to be off the charts. And supporters can play their part too. Like, let's not underestimate that. It has such an impact in games that are decided on by moments of momentum as well.
Which, funnily enough, brings us back to the Cork thing then.
Mm.
So why, I mean, that either proves or disproves the theory that it could be linked at all.
And no, well, I felt the Galway crew who turned up to support their young charges, they sounded like they outnumbered. They were up for the day. There was an excitement. There was a kind of a vigour, a defiance to their team performance, but also in the stands. Like, they went bananas at the end of the game singing N17.
That was actually one of the best videos I've seen all year in any sport. Like, it was like
class.
It was like the Bombonera. There was lads up standing up, swinging their shirts around, and the noise of the supporters singing the Soul Dockers was just... Actually, I got hair standing up the back of my neck, and it was amazing.
Try
amazing
being there. Scenes. It was class. And I think with the... maybe the explosion of entertainment in the championships in the last little while. I think the fan culture is going to improve. I think the structural changes to the championship might improve that too. We'll get back to this again. It was a great weekend at Croke Park, but it was plenty of sport happening around the world, Steve-O. Yeah. You're looking after the news round tonight. There's a lot of big news to get into early doors as well.
Yeah, indeed. Look, well, I think we should start off with the news in relation to the swimming coach, George Gibney, who has been found guilty of the attempted rape of a girl in the 1970s. The former swimming coach was also convicted of abusing three other girls on various dates in the 1970s and 1980s. At the outset of his trial, he pleaded guilty to five counts of indecent assault. The 77-year-old was found not guilty on one count of indecent assault. He was remanded in custody today out of a sentence hearing later this month. News Talk's courts correspondent Frank Graney explains why Mr. Gibney can now be named.
The trial has been ongoing for the past few weeks but went largely under the radar because I suppose we weren't able to identify George Gibney until now as an accused person facing allegations of a sexual nature. He was, of course, entitled to anonymity by law, but that now falls away because he has been convicted, so we can name him.
Yes, that's George Gibney's case spoken about there by Frank Graney.
Yeah, there's been some huge pieces of investigative journalism done across Irish sport and in Off the Ball and other media outlets over the years. So I'm sure we'll be covering that one in depth again. And there's plenty about it. But
absolutely. Yeah. I suppose the only thing you would say is I hope the victims are doing okay today. And I hope they've got... So... Listen, we'll move on to the latest story in relation to, the latest on the story, I should say, in relation to the USA striker Florian Balogun, who has had his one-match ban suspended by FIFA. It's an incredible story, lads. Mm. And the last thing FIFA needed was someone to throw petrol on the fire. Who do you think did that? Well, there's only one man for the job, US President Donald J. Trump. Let's go over this chronologically. Balogun, given a straight red card for the tackle on defender Tariq Muharremovic in the USA's last 32-match win against Bosnia and Herzegovina last Thursday. The striker would normally serve up an automatic one-match ban in the next game, but FIFA announced yesterday it would suspend that ban for 12 months. That led to UEFA putting out a very critical statement this morning, describing the FIFA move as one that has crossed a red line, and that it was, quote, unprecedented, incomprehensible and unjustifiable. It was reported yesterday that FIFA's decision to suspend the ban came after the US president made a call to FIFA. Trump confirmed those reports today.
But all I asked for a review because I didn't think it was a foul. And, you know, again, I'm good at this stuff. I didn't think it was a foul. I thought it was two great athletes that crashed into each other and got entangled. That was not a guy punching somebody in the face or anything that, you know, would be different. And I think it's a terrible, if they wouldn't allow, you know, a top player, maybe the best, maybe among the best players on the team to play, I think it would have had a big stain. And I related just that feel. I didn't tell him what to do. I can't tell him what to do. But and I don't believe he made the decision. I think it was a committee that made the decision. And they made the right decision because, number one, it wasn't a foul. And you want to see a game with your best players. You don't want to say, how would you feel if I took, you know, we take Messi out? Look, you know, he ran into somebody. Or we took Ronaldo. Ronaldo, you bunked into somebody. We're going to take you out of a game. He's great. Well, Harry Kane, we're going to take you out of the game, Harry, because you happen to hit somebody a little bit harder than... You can't do that. If you would have taken him out, I think it would have really stained this incredible champion. We got to have our best players, and Belgium's got a great team, by the way. We got to have our best players, and they have to have their best. And if we win or we lose, it's fair. Otherwise, let's say we lost him and we lose the game. It would be a terrible thing. So I think they made a really brilliant decision. I think the referee's call was horrible. And nobody talks about that. They talk about the red card like it's fine. Nobody talks. The referee's decision to red card. I didn't know what the hell a red card was. When I found out, I said, you got to be kidding. This guy just hands up. Okay, your best player is not going to play next week or in the next game. I said, wow, that's a lot of power. That's terrible. But then I looked at his past, and it wasn't so great.
Yep, that's Trump on the... His call, he has confirmed that he did call Infantino, asked him to review the case, and then also admits that he didn't know what a red card was.
I wonder what he would have made of Nicky Quaid taking out Peter Duggan and the black card penalty decision that Tyler Walsh had to take.
Oh, it's unbelievable stuff. And then also calling the referee's integrity into question there, which is just mind-blowing. I had to play the whole thing in full because it's just incredible. Now, Infantino has since responded with a statement of his own through FIFA, insisting that FIFA's judicial bodies are independent, and added that while he did take a call from Trump, he would take calls from other heads of state and government officials. He apparently explained to Trump that there was an ongoing legal process in relation to Balogun, but didn't explain why or how the independent panel was convened. Should be noted that government interference is a violation of FIFA Article 2 and 15, and the punishment is disqualification and or suspension, something we saw just last month with the Nepalese FA banned from international football due to interference by their National Sports Council in a Nepalese Football Association election. Now, in a statement this afternoon, the Belgian FA alleges that FIFA constituted their letter querying the suspension of Balogun as an appeal before informing them that a judge had been appointed and gave them just a few hours to complete the appeal. The Belgian FA states that they should have been given a reasoned decision for the appeal to be admissible, but by not responding to their initial query ensured it would be deemed inadmissible. It also alleges that FIFA, during the match coordination meeting for their last 16 tie against the USA, removed the section concerning the automatic suspension of players. They said they will challenge the players' eligibility. And since then, we've had another FIFA statement which says that the appeal committee has rendered the request by the Belgian FA as inadmissible, as Belgium is not a party to proceedings and as such has no standing to appeal the decision. So yeah, that's where it stands at the moment.
It's bonkers. We'll be digging into it a little bit later on with Trik Panja, Arthur. I think of all the things Trump has had an impact on over the last little while, is this the most farcical?
Yeah.
Are you going to power? Are you going to power rank?
No, I'm not going to power. I'm not going to power rank. The flagrancy of it is something else. It's because stuff happens to favor home nations.
Mm.
Like, we remember, like, the South Korea, the Spain, Italy games in 2002. Stuff happens. It's just the flagrancy, which was all being carried out in public. I mean, that clip, that sounded like it was just some mad sort of monologue, just sort of stream of consciousness. It was what? This is he's in charge of the business of state. I didn't even know what a red card was. It's like, what are you? It's farcical. It's completely expected. It's
I think it's entirely
unsurprising.
It's a massive power move by him, in the sense that he's showing the world that, look, I can make a call to FIFA and exert this incredible influence over the biggest sporting tournament in the world. It's almost like he's kind of showing people, look, this is me. I've got the power to do this. And also, I did see it suggest, I think it was Gary Neville might have suggested, that Balogun, the USA, might just take him out of the squad just to kind of, so there's no questions over their kind of fairness in this. But can you imagine Trump's reaction if he did pull out after all the work that he's done to keep him in there?
I can't see that happening.
Like, it's just a complete mess. Disgraceful.
We've a couple of big games tonight.
Yeah, well, that Belgium-USA match is in Seattle. It kicks off 1 o'clock in the morning Irish time. Before that, the Iberian neighbours Spain and Portugal meet in what should be a really top quality game. That kicks off at 8 o'clock Irish time. Jordan Henderson's World Cup campaign could be cut short despite England's 3-2 win over Mexico last night. The midfielder injured himself during the celebrations as he fell over an advertising hoarding goals from Jude Bellingham and Harry Kane, ensuring their spot in the quarterfinals. Just give you a quick look at the Portugal and Spain teams, and no huge surprises there. Lamine Yamal, Olmo Baena behind the Oyarzabal in the Spain attack. Pedri's playing alongside Rodri in midfield as Porro, Cubarsí, Laporte and Cucurella in defence with Simon in goal. Costa in goal for Portugal. Cancelo, Dias, Veiga and Mendes the back four. Neves and Vitinha, the holding midfielders. Neto, Fernandes, João Félix and Ronaldo for Portugal.
8 o'clock kickoff there.
Did you see that Henderson thing?
Yeah.
Oh.
I felt really sorry for the guy.
God, it was horrible. Yeah.
Someone said there's a bit of a Wonderwall joke in there.
Yeah.
Blunderwall.
You wouldn't make that joke though, no. Nah.
Poor Jordan.
Horrible.
I feel sorry for
horrible.
Me. Yeah. Listen, best of luck to him against Norway. Hey?
Yeah. Norway last night. Like the way Haaland took that second goal.
Oh.
Amazing. Glorious.
Yeah.
Unreal. Just like seeing a guy at the top of his game, you're like, I know you're trying to disassociate the World Cup from the people involved in running it, but there's something very satisfying about all these guys, these elite guys just turning it on in such a spectacular way.
There's a brilliant reverse angle replay. Do you remember the reverse angle replays we used to have in the GA? I don't know, was it quite like that, but it's just behind Haaland's left boot as he stops it, and it just arrows into the bottom and a beautiful finish.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Pico Lopez?
Yeah, well, Cape Verde's heroic centre-back has made himself available for Shamrock Rovers, what he did for Shamrock Rovers Champions League. First round qualifier, first leg in Malta tomorrow night. He contacted Rovers head coach Stephen Bradley on Saturday, just hours after Cape Verde went out on their shields in the World Cup last 32 defeat to Argentina. Lopez and the rest of the Cape Verde squad went back to the island for a homecoming over the weekend before he returned to Dublin today. Bradley was speaking ahead of tomorrow night's meeting with Maltese champions Floriana.
He said, look, he'd make it back to travel with us today. And again, that probably sums him up, like, you know. I said, no, Pico, you need to stay and enjoy these moments, like, you know, and we'll see you when we're back. And he was delighted then. He went to Cape Verde with the team and stuff. So, but yeah, Pico will be fine. He's a few days now to relax at home with his family and have a bit of reflection. And then he's back in with us later on the week and ready to go.
Just to say, Bradley said the new signing, Jonathan Afolabi, could finish in that game. Feature, I should say, against Floriana. They'll assess him tonight.
Steve-O, the Camogie draw was made at the weekend. Two of the quarterfinals were played in Croke Park before the hurling semifinals.
Yeah, it was indeed. Tipperary will face Cork and Galway will meet Kilkenny following that draw at Croke Park yesterday. Tip, freshman with a 7-point success over Clare, will be on home turf as part of a doubleheader in FBD Semple Stadium. Kilkenny edged out Waterford by a goal on Saturday and can look forward to a clash with the Troyes women. I should say as well, on July 18th is when the semi-finals will take place in the Women's All-Ireland Senior Football Championship. Galway taking on Armagh at 3:15, Pearse Park in Longford. Semple Stadium and Thurles stages the meeting of Dublin, the champions, against Kerry at 5:15.
They're going to be crackers. The Waterford-Kilkenny quarterfinal of the weekend was brilliant. Tipperary looked a class above against Clare, but the football semi-finals as well, they're going to be so good. A comment in here from Always Get a Par, at Always Get a Par. Did anyone else notice that players are now celebrating a little bit more when they score a goal? This is a wonderful new trend. It is a brilliant addition in football and hurling.
Yeah.
Is it a new thing?
Is it a new thing? You'd have to go back and check. I suppose like the O'Connor goal yesterday. I can't. With too many, like, it was funny because Shane O'Brien was straight up to him to tell him to get back doing what he was doing. I guess it was. I mean, you notice it most, I suppose, with the biggest players. You notice it with Clifford.
I feel like there's a little bit more time to celebrate in football.
Yeah, probably.
But do you know, like...
No, Everett Cogan was taking plenty of time with his puck out yesterday, so that was fun.
But he had to as well. that was an interesting feature of the weekend. We'll get into that after 8 o'clock. I mentioned this last week as well. The new flashboards in Croke Park, NBA style, they're absolutely sensational. When a two-pointer scored in football, the orange flashes up pitch side.
Oh, yeah.
Do you not like it?
No.
Oh, I'm a big fan. I think it adds to it. It happened for the goals at the weekend.
It does, yeah. No.
Not a fan?
No. I'm conscious. Yeah, no. I don't. We don't need. Yeah, we don't need everything. What happens next?
What do you mean? What happens
next? I saw it a few times, and I kept getting the ads for a certain drinks thing, especially in the second half, out of the corner of my eye when it would flash up red.
I'm not talking about the ads.
Well, I mean, you're talking about one, you're talking about the other. They're not put in for that, believe me. That's not what's paying for them.
It's working for me. Have we time for one more, Stephen?
Yeah, just the tennis. Arthur Ferry playing at Wimbledon in his match against Gregor Dimitrov. It's been a really tight one, tight affair this one, but at the moment, Dimitrov, it's actually gone 2-2 now between them. So in a deciding set, it's going with serve in the fifth set between those two. Earlier today, Caboli beat Dimonor to qualify to the quarterfinals in straight sets. A German second seed, Alexander Zverev, will be out in centre court later. Taylor Fritz, 2 love up against Alexander Bublik in sets. Italian Jasmine Paolini got to play in front of her idol Roger Federer at Wimbledon today as she won in straight sets against Alexandra Ayala to book her place in the quarterfinals. And Madison Keys went out to Linda Noskova. The 12 seed Marta Kostyuk has reached the quarterfinals for the first time in her career, beating American Ashton Kruger. And Belgian Elise Mertens booked her last 8 place, winning in straight sets over Marie Bozkova.
Yeah, some really interesting ties coming up in Wimbledon. Stephen Doyle, thank you very much. Arthur Lee, thank you. You'll be back a little later this afternoon. The News Round is brought to you by Viagra Connect. 50 milligram film-coated tablets contain sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage of 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
Hello, it's Owen Chahan here from Off The Ball, and the FIFA World Cup 2026 is here. And let's be honest, the matchday version of ourselves can look a little committed. Jerseys, face paint, scarves in questionable weather, whatever you have, maybe even a full costume if your team makes a run, you can look a little worse for wear come the end of it all. But the World Cup, it's not just about the football. It's the atmosphere, it's the nights in the pub, it is the watch parties with your mates, and maybe even meeting someone new. That is where Lynx comes in. As an official personal care sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026, Lynx's premium fragrances are here to help you smell your best, even in the middle of full matchday madness. Lynx, smell your best when you look your worst. Now, enjoy your podcast.